Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lincioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm Pat Lincioni, your host. I'm joined by Cody and Bo. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Tracy's not here, so it's just the boys' night out here.
That's right.
No, Tracy has the adult flu. Supervision.
Yeah, oh. Tracy has the flu, so yeah, no adult supervision. But Karen is here off mic in the studio, and so is Matt. But the three of us guys are going to do this. What's the topic today?
Yeah, we're calling this The Career Counselor is In.
Right. And that comes from, where does that come from, Bo?
I believe it comes from Peanuts, from That's Charlie right. Brown's friend Lucy, who we were debating whether she charged 5 cents or 10 cents for her counseling.
Yeah.
Which was never that good.
I think her said the psychiatrist is in her case. And so the career counselor is in today. We're just going to talk about careers. This is one of my favorite things to talk about. In fact, and this kind of says something about what we're going to talk about, if I had to do another career, one of them might be being a career counselor. I love helping people figure out what they should do with their jobs. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, because this is relevant to everyone. Whether you love your job right now, it's good to think about this, or you may know somebody that needs this help, or maybe you're in a job, or you're new in your career, or you're getting ready to retire, or you're in the middle of one that's not going well. Everybody needs to think about this, and there's some relevance to this conversation. So, or heck, you might be a stay-at-home parent thinking, what else would I do if I weren't doing this, or when this changes? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And because we're getting to, you know, the holidays and New Year's, people are taking stock and they often make changes when the new year starts. So we thought this would be a good time for the career counselors to be in. What do you guys think? Just so people know, we record these on Zoom, right? And so we make sure that somebody, if they have something to say, they put their finger up so the other people can see they're going. But Bo sliced the tendons in his finger, and he's got a little cast on it, so it's kind of hard to tell when his finger.
I always have my finger up.
Yeah, it's always up.
It is.
It's my luckily it's finger. Your pointer finger and not your middle finger. Okay, go,
well,
Bo.
Well, here's why I love this is I talk to leaders who regularly wrestle with this, and they feel sort of embarrassed that they're even thinking about it. They say things like, Why would the attention have to be on me? Or isn't this a first world problem? But we believe that work is really dignified and can bring value to yourself and to your family and to the world. And it's worth wrestling through and thinking about. So I just love that we're even talking about this. And I hope the very nature of it gives people permission to pause and re-examine. You know, even asking the question, the worst thing that you could come up with, the worst thing that could happen might be that you decide that you love your job. And you're in totally the right space.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was thinking just before we started, maybe the reason to do this is to go, wow, I'm going to appreciate my job even more because this is the right thing for me to do. And you know, here we all work together. We do love our jobs here. But Bo, if there was something that you were meant to do other than this, or Cody or Karen or Matt or me or Tracy, I would want you to do that. Now, the good news is there's not only one thing we're meant to do. Mm-hmm. Most of us are suitable for two or three or four things. And so if the table group went away tomorrow, we would still have to figure this out. So this is not about like, oh gosh, this is terrible that I'm thinking this. I should love my job. You might love your job and think, well, what other jobs might I love if I had to do that?
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is, I kind of feel like we're in this really cool time frame where you get to think of this, because for a long time is actually, you know, and it's very core to our podcast around the dignity of work, that we think people are dignified in what they bring to work and that we get more joy and satisfaction out of it. Because like even a generation ago, and this is some of the holdover of that, is like you just your purpose was to get a job and pay the bills. And so there, we're in this like new era, a little bit of work where most people's needs are met. And so we get to ask more interesting questions about like, what is it? How are you wired? And what would you love doing? And it's okay to explore that conversation. It's not like personally indulgent. It's actually really cool that we get to say, hey, how are you wired? And how would you best contribute to the world and to teammates and to the environment, you know? And so it's cool that we live in an era where it's not just about like, well, go get a paycheck and some insurance.
So Pat, I'm so interested that you, if you were to have a second job, I've never heard you say that before, but I've experienced you doing that with people, that you love this career counseling thing.
Yeah.
Where do you start? Like, where do you ask a question? Is there something you're specifically listening for? How do you start that conversation?
Yeah, I love to say to people, okay, imagine that money were not an issue. Like, there was no financial restraints on what you did. Or sometimes I say, imagine the world, and I don't recommend this because I think Russia tried this, you know, the Soviet Union did, and it didn't work out very well. And now imagine where everybody got paid the same thing, and there was no difference, but you had to do some job, right? And what would you do? So if money were not an issue, now I you ask a kid this question, they say, I'd be a video game designer or a rock star. Or you ask a lot of guys I know and they go, I'd be a professional golfer. But what I mean is truly, now maybe those are the right answers, but most it's because kids like to play video games and listen to rock music and guys like to golf, but and gals too. But truly, if money were not an issue at all, and you were starting your career again, or you're getting ready to retire and money shouldn't be an issue there, you know, what would you do just because you were drawn to do that?
Right.
And so rather than just put this out here, I'm going to actually ask you, Bo, what would you do if you weren't doing what you're doing right now? Because I have three or four other careers I would love to do.
My first thought, Pat, about that is I think about what is really interesting to me and what would I want to just be able to continue to learn about. In fact, I had a friend, he was a civil engineer, and he said, never take a job based on the opportunity that you think is in front of it. Take a job based on what you could go learn. So here's what I think I would do.
Interesting.
I would love to learn more about writing. I think that writing is really interesting and fun, and I enjoy it. And if I knew that I could be okay at it, I think I would consider doing something like that. Or I would probably want to go think about starting something. And I really am not even sure what. I'd be curious for you to do some live career consulting for me about that.
Well, so this is a very interesting thing. We didn't even mention Working Genius or Myers-Briggs or anything like that, because there's profiles. So the things you just said definitely align with. If you said I would go and do something, I would run a railroad, I would be like, I don't think so, Bo, because I know you're Myers-Briggs and I know you're Working Genius, and that's not your thing. But so you should always consider those things, but it's good to ask this question. And what you just said made a lot of sense to me. And in fact, you know what you would do? You would go start that new university that you want to start, because you think higher education is broken, and you wanted to start this school where people learned how to do productive, real things, build their character, be entrepreneurial, and not have to go to a college and overpay money to go to a dorm for 4 years. So you've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that we're having this conversation, it's like, yeah, if the table group closed down tomorrow, you'd be like, wow, that's a bummer. But I'm going to go do that other thing now.
That's so interesting. And, you know, here's another clue is I have a friend named James, and James is starting this. And when he started talking about like Hustle University and creating that kind of experience, oh, my ears totally perk up. Isn't that an interesting indicator of what you could do with your life and should do is when somebody's talking about it or when you see it in the world, you can't help but double click into it because it's just interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what's funny about this? It's really a lot simpler than we think. Like Matt, my son here, I asked him like, what were your favorite classes in college? And he described two classes in college that weren't really central to his major, but they were related, that are exactly what he's doing right now. And I thought, that makes sense. And I think about when I was in college, I studied Spanish and economics, neither of which are even remotely related to what I do now, though I can speak Spanish. I loved social psychology, group dynamics, journalism, and screenwriting.
Huh. Okay, so Cody, we do want to get to you and hear what your answer would be. Pat, I just read this really interesting thing. An author, I think he's written 34 books, and he was reflecting on his writing. He writes nonfiction, so he goes and writes real stories of real things that are happening. And he said, I went and looked at my bookshelf of all 34 books that I've written. 90% of them were about topics that I was interested in before the age of 18.
Wow.
Ah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And we ignore that sometimes.
I do love what you said, Bo, is like around what makes you lean into the conversation when you hear other people talking about it. Like Pat, you talk about screenwriting and you and I talk about movies a lot. And so like that totally makes sense that, and that interest that you had that you turned into the way you write your own books, you know? So I love that there's this formation. A lot of times in hindsight, you can see it pretty clearly. It's kind of hard to tease out while you're experiencing it. But I love that you like look back and go, oh, what was I interested in for a long time?
Well, I keep forgetting. And I was fascinated by my dad's job and the idea of what jobs were when I was a kid.
Right.
Now, I didn't know there was a field where I could actually do what I do now, but that's so interesting. How about you, Cody? Have you figured it out yet?
You know, I think so, you know, and it's related to Working Genius a little bit, but one of the things that really fascinates me is like the discerner part of my brain where I don't necessarily have invention, but I love evaluating ideas. And then I love that process of getting people, you know, motivated around good ideas. So the idea of like, sort of like Shark Tank, I love watching Shark Tank because people pitch ideas and I get to go like, ooh, that's actually really brilliant. Or maybe they would tweak it this way. So for whatever reason, I've always been super interested in like younger startups, like young, little, small companies that need sort of what we do, Pat, around like helping them get set earlier on the clarity in their culture, but then sort of evaluating what they're offering the world in their product or services. So if I could have like a building where we had five young companies that were doing something significant in the world, that you could like, our office would be on the top floor and we could pop into each one of those one day a week, that would kind of be the thing. Cause part of what I know about myself too, is I like that process of like discerning and galvanizing. And I don't have as much of the tenacity, like making it go, you know, and, you know, getting through to the end. So the idea of being able to bounce between a few sounds pretty exciting.
Right. And that sounds like what's called an incubator.
Right.
The thing about this is some people don't like to go through this exercise because they think it's going to be, maybe it's too late in their life or it's depressing because they can't do it. And that's just not true. There are opportunities out there to do the things you love to do. But sometimes we either get depressed or we convince ourselves that, well, I don't have any flexibility. But the truth of the matter is you should always have the next two or three things. Like, heck, if I had to do it all over again, I would do this other thing. And more often than not, there's an opportunity if the thing you're doing now doesn't work out. I like to say this, you guys. The worst case scenario would be that if you made so much money and your life was so tied into how much money you had that you couldn't leave.
Totally.
So that's the worst case scenario. But if you don't make a lot of money, then the chances are you're going to make more money doing something that's interesting to you. And for very few people, that's not true. But I know they're going to go, oh, I don't know though. And it's like, we've seen it a million times. Yeah, Bo.
You know, there's kind of two ways that something can be interesting. Like, let's take the writing example for me. I do think good writing is really interesting. Pat, we did a whole podcast where I asked you about your writing process. I read books about people and their writing process. But then there's also what's the felt need out in the world that it's helping to address? So like, Cody, you just combine this interesting thing of you find business and strategy really interesting. And one of the needs out in the world is people getting clarity about where they're going. So it's not just that you like small businesses. It's that you like helping people be able to take the next step or accelerate. Mm-hmm. And Pat, you are really good at writing, but you combine that thing with your ability to help on-ramp ideas for people. So there's this like, what interests me, like from a topic, and then what's the problem or gap or thing in the world that kind of bugs you?
Yeah, you just reminded me of something, Bo, and that is, and this might be the most important thing in this little podcast, and that is the first thing should be your curiosity. Then what does the world need? Because the world is full of people that said, what does the world need? They need software. I'll go into that. No. If you're not naturally curious about that, don't do it. But figure out what you're curious about and then figure out a way that someone in the world values that and you can provide that to them. So those are the two big things.
You're totally right, Pat. That curiosity, what the world needs. And that's why, like, when I love that we talk about if money were not really an object, like we've had this conversation before where you want to be in a situation or a job or a work that you love enough that if you won the lottery tomorrow, you'd be like, your job is not about securing your retirement. In other words, it's because you enjoy what you do that, yeah, sure, maybe you would go on an elaborate vacation or maybe you, but at the end of that, you might go, you actually want to go back to the thing that you feel passionate about, that you feel like is impacting the world in a specific way. So if you're sitting there and like, boy, I don't feel like I have that. And maybe that feels like a high class problem. Like, well, you guys are Pollyanna-ish. Nobody gets to decide that. There's so many people that just follow that curiosity and find a way to monetize it enough where their needs are met and they get to wake up every day excited about what they get to do.
Exactly. Heck, if I won the lottery, honestly, very little in my life would change except, I mean, I would honestly want a plane so I could drive, so I could fly around without having to go to the airport. I know that sounds like, I don't need much in the world, just this plant and this private plane, like Steve Martin in The Jerk, you know? But long, if I like had all the money in the world, all I would do is avoid going to airports. Other than that, I would do the same work with the same people and do the same kind of stuff. And hopefully everybody can have a private plane and do what they want to do.
So, Pat, what's your advice to somebody who's thinking about these things and is considering like a side hustle? That's very trendy in the last 10 years or so is, oh, I'll go start doing that part-time on the side or on my Tuesday evenings or my Saturday mornings. I have no idea what you're going to say. What's your advice about side hustles?
Well, I love this. Karen and I were talking about this earlier about we all have those passions we have, and the question is, should that be our work? There are things we should do as a hobby. You know, because we love them as a hobby. And it was sometimes when you take a hobby and you make it your work, you lose. It depends on what kind of thing it is. Not everything you enjoy doing should necessarily be a job. But if your side hustle really is the thing you wish you were doing, you need to find a way to make it your main hustle. Because otherwise, by definition, you're just not going to get it going. And so know the difference between a hobby. Like, I do enjoy golfing. The other question I like to ask people is, if you had to go away for 6 months and do one thing, what would it be? Hmm. Now, I would not say golfing, because after the fourth day of golfing, I'd be like, okay, I need to do something else. So people say, I'd go lay on a beach. Well, not for 6 months. Hmm. And so what would be the thing? Here's the other question we can ask ourselves. If for whatever reason somebody said, we're going to fly you someplace and you have to be gone and by yourself, but you have to be busy for 6 months, what would you do? So that's another question. I don't know if I answered your question, Bo, or if I just moved on to that one.
It is really interesting. I think some of this depends a little bit on your season of life, but some of what you're saying is you might not really discover what that thing is by giving 20 minutes a day to it, but you might by going all in. And one of my pieces of advice, Pat, that I give to folks who are in their 20s especially is I say, forget the side hustle, just hustle. Just see how far you could get in 90 days. Imagine how much you could get done if you just went hard after that for a year. And you might not end up staying in that career or that field, but you definitely will discover something else about yourself if you don't put it to the side, give it all of your attention and see how far you can get.
Right. So that does relate to the side hustle, because the 6 months would be 3 or 6 months might be enough to actually see what could get started. And not every people will say, well, but I don't have that much time. And what am I going to do for money? And hey, all of that is totally real. We all are there. We've been there. But it's so easy to talk ourselves out of ever trying that thing. The other interesting thing is there's, like Cody, you were talking about yours. There are incubators in the world. And there's often an outlet for that thing you think you want to do. And Bo, for you, here I'm talking both of my guys at work to go do that other thing.
He's firing us on the podcast, Bo. Oh, he's firing us right now.
It's a great way to go podcast. Down, you know? The next podcast is, we're hiring.
So Bo, like you said, like if you really wanted to do that thing, you have this friend that's doing it. That's a viable alternative. Now, we might have to adjust our lifestyles a bit, but the truth of the matter is there are people out there doing these things. And so what we think is like a side hustle that's pie in the sky, there are actually practical alternatives for doing these things.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the other thing I'd add here, Pat, because we've talked about this on a previous podcast, is sort of this plant your tree idea, like plant your tree. Because I think what tends to happen for people, even as they're listening to this, there's all these logistical reasons why it's not possible to do right now, like explore this other thing that's always been out there. Bo, you're writing and, you know, all these things. It's like a lot of times it takes one of two things. It takes a catastrophe, like people get fired and then they go, now I guess I might as well give that a shot. Or it takes a exceptional level of courage to just start, you know, just start right now. Like, and courage could be like quitting your job and doing a new thing. But I think there is that little middle ground that's like, hey, you always, for 5 years, you've been talking about this thing. Why don't you just go see how much progress you can make in 90 days? And then you'll know.
You know, you just reminded me of something, Cody. And that is that it might sound like we're telling people, quit your job and go start a business or be an entrepreneur. But it's even within the organization where you work. So when I was a kid, I wanted to do things around the world of work, organizations and all that stuff. And I had a job in a big company and I heard a guy give a talk about his interest in increasing employee satisfaction at the company. And I actually went and pitched one of the executives of this big company a new job and a new department. And he hired me to do that. So I had benefits, I stayed within the same company, but I shifted my career. And so it was entrepreneurialism, but it was intrapreneurialism and it wasn't risky. And so it's not about leaving and going, starting that business. You know, it's sometimes about going within the organization you're at and saying, hey, I'm passionate about this. Maybe I could be a writer here in this field, or maybe I could do this kind of work using these skills. And for me, I got into organizational work by going from the internal audit department, which was a nightmare for me, and going to this guy and saying, I am so passionate about this thing you talked about yesterday. Hire me to do that for you and I'll do the best job. And he did. And it changed my career. So career counseling is sometimes even within the organization where you work.
I'm reading you loud and clear here, Pat. So I'd like to take this opportunity to pitch the Table Group Incubator Company where, I'm teasing, but.
You know, the funny thing is, Cody, we would probably think about it. If you said, I really want to do that, we would probably go, maybe we should.
Totally. That's great. I like that. I actually remember you telling that story, Pat. I love you went to him, you wrote a newspaper article about here's what they'll say in the news if we do this well. Like, I love that you like created that. And I love that advice. It doesn't mean quit your job. It doesn't mean go out on your own. It doesn't mean hang your own shingle all the time. It just means go and be proactive about the thing that you want to do and how you want to contribute at your current job.
Absolutely. I became a startup within the company. Mm-hmm. Karen just wrote me a note saying, we need to start an interior design arm of the Table Group. Because Karen is great at that.
That's awesome.
So, but what's funny, she and I were talking today about her working genius and what she does. And it gave her a different perspective on like, what's the things I've done here that I love the most? And how would that translate to somewhere on the outside? So I think this is a healthy thing.
Pat, I have a question for you about this. So there is some of this that's fun and it's exploratory and, you know, maybe instead of watching Netflix, somebody could be learning about a potential career change or practicing a trade that they might someday step into. How do you know when it's time to jump? If you're counseling somebody about their career, when do you tell them it's time for them to jump ship and actually make the change versus how long do they stay in it? Does that make sense? I feel like I get that tension a lot from leaders though. Oh, that sounds good, but I either have golden handcuffs or that sounds risky or what's your counsel there?
Well, as you were saying that, I was like, how am I ever going to answer this question? And there's no science to it, but what it is, it's about pros and cons, or better yet, it's about pain and opportunity. And sometimes you just get to that point, what is the cost of you not doing that? Mm-hmm. And I am totally all in on people being responsible about paying for their mortgage and all those other things. But at some point you just go, this is crushing me doing work that I don't like. And it might not be, okay, how do I mortgage the house and start a new job? It might be, how do I go to my boss or go to another company and propose doing something that would feed me? And you pray about it and you hope it's God's will. And then but you have to act. And so it's not a black and white thing like quit your job and go do something crazy. It's about saying the pain is just too high. I need to act.
I have a thought about, even as you were describing that, I wonder if our metaphor or like our word pictures about that matter a whole lot. If somebody's thinking, I'm on the edge of this cliff and I got to get enough courage to jump to do the next thing, versus instead of thinking, oh, I'm on this road and I want to build an off ramp to go to the next road. That mm-hmm. word picture is, oh, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to maybe even have an 18-month view about what that looks like to build that, rather than just trying to build up enough courage to jump.
And that's where we don't want to dismiss what we call the side hustle. Sometimes people begin to incubate, we'll combine all these, something, an idea, because they know that's going to lead them to getting there. And maybe that side hustle is building up a little bit of revenue and a little and changing things so that eventually you can go all in, and it's not quite like going from 0 to 60, but it's 0 to 30 to 60, using the on-ramp analogy. I think that's a great point.
Well, was that a nickel's worth or a dime's worth of career advice the career counselor is in?
It was at least 8.5 cents.
Yeah.
I know it's getting close to the 10 cents. But so I think that this is just, I think we can close this down now and just say, this is the right time. What's the right time? If you're just entering the workforce, if you're already in it, if you're getting ready to retire, always be thinking, what else might I love to do? And it's one of those things that the right time will come up and you'll say, man, that's been sitting there. I've been thinking about it. I've been ready. Or you might say, hey, you know, those things sound really interesting, but I love what I'm doing now, and this is the right thing.
On the last episode, you guys had encouraged some businesses to share stories of them trying. Did you get any stories back that we could share as we wrap this up?
We did. That was the idea of the new three letters key to success, which is try. And we got a lot of people sending notes about being able to relate to that. And we want to share two of them. One of them was from a guy named Fred. He is in charge of facilities for their rec center, which I love this. And so they have families use it. They have students use it. And somebody called and complained about something. And he goes, I want you to know how I responded to them. He didn't want us to read this, but we're going to do it anyway. So he sent them a letter, because remember, I was the one who purchased the glasses, and they said, we can't do that. Bye. They didn't say sorry. So he wrote a letter to these people, and it said, we have received your feedback and want to thank you for reaching out and letting us know that the facility is not meeting your expectations for cleanliness and access. Please accept our apologies for this and know we are working to improve. Here is how. I've engaged with our campus partner who provides our cleaning service about this, and they have been asked to increase their attention in these areas. If there are specific items that you would like to reference, please feel free to identify those and send them along. It helps us to have specifics to share with them. We will also increase inspections in the locker rooms to provide better feedback to our custodial team so they can address your concerns before they escalate. And he went on and on. He was very specific. He said, we love to get this. And they got back to him and said, we loved your email and your follow-up. This is great. We love your center. It means so much to our family. So, Fred, way to go. You tried. Seriously,
trying.
That's people amazing.
Appreciated that. We got another one from Andrea Jones. She sent us one of a whole bunch of things. She loved how Tracy talked about the tipping in restaurants. She said, like in Japan, where she lived for a while, they're insulted if you try to tip them because they think it's their job to give you great service. So I like that. But here's what she said. She said, last Friday, so this is right, the day after Thanksgiving, she had to call something called the American Safety Council. Now, I don't know what that is, but she said it's because her 15-year-old needed a new code to take the online driver's permit test. I guess the American Safety Council has to do with getting your permit. So it was very stressful because we were with our family. It was the day after Thanksgiving, and no one really wanted to take time out, but she really wanted to take the exam. So after being put on hold, she was connected to this guy named Lionel. Halfway through the conversation, Andrea accidentally removed her AirPods, which disconnected the line. So she thought she was screwed. She almost started crying, she said. Waiting on hold a second time, her other line beeped in, and it was Lionel calling her back. Now, he did not have to call her back. They'd have never known. He was calling her back because we got disconnected. And then he helped her a third time when they needed to apply a different code, and she had to call back again. She found Lionel and helped her again. He was extremely friendly, helpful, calming, empathic. And she says, I remember feeling like he actually cared And she said, and I did not expect that. And so it just jumped off the page for her. And she just said, this guy, Lionel, at the American Safety Council, he tried so hard and she was absolutely over the moon. These were just two of the stories we got. Mm. There's a lot of people out there trying and everybody agreed when they do, it really stands out. So this is a great opportunity for people to try. So thank you, Andrea and Fred. We appreciate your stories and we hope you gave us your address so we can send you some Working Genius or Table Group swag. So we love it when people send Matt at podcast@tablegroup.com. Okay, the career counselor is out. So we're done.
Perfect.
Bo, Cody, thank you. I hope your next job treat
guys.
You well. Stay in touch. Okay. Karen, Matt, thank you. Thanks for everybody listening. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time and at the table. God bless.